It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
In the midst of all the nonsense that happened, that always happens from 10 to 12, we were trying to figure out why we hadn't heard an official announcement on the status of Stephon Diggs. I know that came down maybe an hour or so or two after this show was over. So we all know what the deal is. But here's DeMeco Ryans making it official. The Texans are going to be without their star wide receiver for the rest of the year.
It's the start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team and just everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but you know, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
My immediate reaction is some pushback against people who are saying, well, was the trade worth it? You can't play that game. I don't think you can play that game. If you are, unless you are vehemently against it, and you, when you heard about it, and you're like, well, if he gets injured, this trade sucks. If that was your... if that was where you stood when it happened, then I can't fault you because you foresaw this happening and you thought to yourself, the Texans are putting themselves in a troubling position. They gave up a pick that high for Stephon Diggs. And what if he gets hurt? If you said that, all right, you win, Playboy. I can't fight you on that. But if you were, you know, hey, I love the move. I love them being aggressive. And then you're now out because a serious injury happened in football. I can't let that ride. It was a risk, certainly. You went in for an older player, not that his age contributed to the ACL, but a lot of people, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but some people have talked about you could have gone after a different receiver and drafted one, a Brian Thomas per se, if you had not traded down initially and then traded the pick. Okay, if that was your thought going into the offseason, once again, I'm not going to fight you too much, but The hindsight stuff, I can't be with. The Texans made a move that, for the most part, we all agreed with, saying we know they need another weapon, and they decided to go get one of the more accomplished receivers in all of football. And he had been, from all accounts, whatever you consider a good citizen is, he wasn't the guy people were trying to paint him as someone who could tear apart a locker room, and we all kind of thought that was going to be the case. It was a new spot. He wasn't looking to be destructive. It's a good football team. He wouldn't have to worry about playing on a bad one. And it was a spot where he could, because of what they did to his contract, get back into free agency quickly. And the only way you do that and have it work out for you is to play well and not be someone where people are like, man, Stephon Diggs really ripped apart that young team. He really made C.J. Stroud's life a living hell. You don't want to make a guy with that much, with that high of an approval rating. You don't want to make that guy miserable. So Stephon Diggs, according to everyone who's around him, was great in that locker room, and it comes to an end prematurely. And that's the macro view when we talk about his future as a player, maybe even if he ever plays for the Texans again. But the micro is they got a game tomorrow, and they're in big trouble, I think. We're 4 for 4, Sean. Everyone a part of the 7 to 12 block, as I like to call it, although you're part of the 12 to 7, I guess you were 12 to 6, I guess, as well. Everyone thinks the Texans are losing tomorrow. We are 4 for 4 in that. It's a scary spot that the Jets are 2-6 and they're still the favorite. And if you go man for man right now, we knew Stephon Diggs wasn't going to play no matter what the extent of his injury was. But you go man for man, the Jets, I would say, are a more talented team than the team the Texans are putting out on the field tomorrow. That doesn't mean that they'll win, because we saw a more talented team than the Jets lose to the Patriots with their backup quarterback, who was their starter, but was their backup because he stunk, but they had to put him in because the starter got concussed, and the Patriots still won the game. So we know the Jets are capable of tricking off a game. Sorry, Rafael Stone said it. We're just going to use it. That's what we're going to do here. We know that the Jets are capable of tricking off a game against a team that's outmatched, and the Patriots are one of the least talented teams in the football, particularly on offense, and they found a way to lose that game. So the Texans can go on there and win. I just don't like the spot. Short week. You are down another weapon. You got questions still about your offensive line, and we'll hear from DeMeco Ryans about why Kenyon Green is going to get more opportunities. By the way, there's a report out there, or at least a story, from an ESPN personality, Jeremy Fowler. Maybe we just call him a writer. I don't know if he makes enough appearances to be a personality. But that Kenyon Green could be a trade candidate, which we need to dive deep into, because is that one of those things where some coach out there is like a, this is going to be gender specific, but it's the only way I can do it. Like, we hear all the time about, I can fix this guy. That's always attributed to women who think they can fix a man. There's always a coach out there who thinks they can fix a player. And he's a former first-round pick, all those things. I can fix him. Is that what that is, or are the Texans trying to offload him? But Jeremy Fowler's putting it out there that Kenyon Green is a trade candidate. What the Texans could get if they were the one putting him out there, I don't know. But we'll get into that later. But in New York on a Thursday, you've already voiced you don't think they're winning that game.
Just doesn't
it don't feel
good.
Right.
It doesn't feel good.
All of it lines up for a frustrating, annoying loss on Thursday night. And the talk coming out of it is, beyond what's wrong with the Texans, it'll be, do the Jets still have a chance? All feels like that's coming on Friday morning from the national perspective. I don't want it to happen. And if the Texans win, it'll be home, whatever. But if the Jets win, it'll be a major story that I don't want to deal with, particularly if the Yankees are still alive. I don't need 3 good days in New York for New York sports. I need a loss tonight for the Yankees. The Knicks can lose to the Heat as well. I'd appreciate that too. But who cares that much about that? But I do need the Texans to beat the Jets, because 3 straight days of New York happiness, I ain't looking for that in any way. But it's in the realm of possibility. Yeah, I don't feel great.
It's just, I think it's the Thursday aspect.
It is. It's the short week aspect. You're going on the road.
This is the first time DeMeco Ryans and CJ Stroud and everyone else who is a second-year Texan is playing on a short week, because last year the shortest week they played on was on a Saturday against the Colts the last week of the season. Every other game was, I think, at noon. There was like 2 late games, like late afternoon games. But this is the first time that they actually have to organize and, you know, get physically ready to play on a Thursday night against a veteran team who's coming off an embarrassing loss. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
None of the intangibles say this should be a Texans win. None of it goes in their favor.
Even the tangibles.
Sure. Well, that too, yeah.
Those tell you that at the very least, this is going to be a close game.
A dogfight, scrappy. We know they have a dominant defensive tackle in Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
And the Texans don't really have a great interior.
And they haven't played well on the road.
That's another thing. Now, it's a different type of opponent. As much as we can talk about the Colts not being great, at least they're an average football team. The Jets have been terrible. But that doesn't mean they don't have one more in them.
That's the thing. It's the death throes of a dying football team.
Yeah, the quicksand is obviously going to take you, but there might be a couple more maybe at least in this case, 60 minutes of fight where you don't immediately go under.
Yeah. There's just that, one last kick that they could,
yeah,
they
and,
could
have. And that's just assuming they have any pride, which they very well may not. They may be broken.
I think I've said a couple times if they have any pride, XYZ, and they've lost all those games.
Yeah.
So I don't think they have any pride.
They lost to the New England Patriots with their backup quarterback, who not just the backup who had to start. The backup who came in because the starter got hurt. So, you know, particularly a young quarterback who you know is getting all the reps to get himself ready. And then Jacoby Brissett just goes in there and wins. So the Jets don't have any pride, but this may be like you're near death and you don't want to go into the light. This might be what Thursday night is, unfortunately. The Texans just happen to be the team who is standing in the path of the Jets. Maybe just season falling apart completely, but they may want to on a Thursday night tell the world we're not done yet,
and then immediately lose next Sunday.
Yeah, that's what it will be. If they beat the Texans, the frustration will be when the Jets get their ass kicked the next week, and we're like, wait, what? How do we lose? What
was this for?
Yeah, but the scenario sets up for this to happen. I mean, sure, the Texans could throw all that to the side and win, but we've seen enough football. We've seen enough of these scenarios. It all feels almost inevitable. The question will be, can the Texans overcome what could be their worst loss of the year by far? We'll get to what D'Amico Ryan said about apparent trade candidate Kenyon Green, because he was asked about it, of course. We know, if not for the injury to Jared Patterson, I almost said juice again, but I got it right this time. If not for the injury to Jared Patterson, Kenyon Green would have been sitting down instead of playing, but he's back. And D'Amico had an offense for Kenyon Green. Again, that's his guy. All of those guys are his guys. He's going to defend his guys. He doesn't throw guys under the bus. It just makes him sound silly because you have to back your guys. Because we all know he's in a position where he's not going to rip a guy. But the world, all the Texans fans, anyone covering Texans media knows that what he is saying about this particular player isn't true. And I listened back to the show yesterday, by the way, not because I'm a narcissist, but I was uncomfortable. Maybe I'm a narcissist, but that's not the reason I listened back to the show. Sean did. Well, maybe you are. I saw that in there. That didn't get by me. I listened back to the show because of Kenyon Green on the mobile. I was like, did we ever laugh at the chicken stuff? Because that might have put us in a bad light. I listened back. We did not laugh at his chicken stuff. We did laugh at the Twinkie cream, which I think keeps us safe. But do we need to make a call here? Because I could feel the Kenyon Green on the mobile stuff going down a path where we're going to be like, all right, that's enough. I feel that could happen. Do we take a stand right now and say no more Kenyon Green on the mobile if you're going to reference fried chicken? Do we make that the line? You could do the call, but you cannot talk about the man eating fried chicken.
I'm comfortable with that
line. I think we can allow the...
Because it is dancing on a thin line.
Yeah, I think we can allow the creative process to continue.
Yes.
But he's got to divert away from that particular
a different food.
Yeah.
Just a different food. Not watermelon.
Pick a
different
food.
Wow. Just a different
food. Who are you, Tony Hinchcliffe? That was part of his bit. A guy whose name a lot of people didn't know. He was popular, but a lot of people didn't know that guy's name. Now, far more people than he probably wants to, considering the reaction he's getting. Maybe a lot of people will tune in to the next Kill Tony. We will see. Yeah, whoever you are out there, because we don't know your name, you can do the Kenyon Green bit on the mobile thing. But stay away from the fried poultry, unless it's turkey. You can do the turkey thing, I think.
Yeah.
Sean and I have finally drawn a line. Other than Julian's stupid San Francisco 49er thing, we don't draw lines on the show. We've finally drawn one.
We've let La Salsa cook for you for almost a year.
Entire existence of this show. Whenever he wanted to do something, he can. But this one, yeah, I had to listen back.
Eric Wong, no notes.
No, you should feel proud, Ken Green on the mobile. You forced us to draw a line, mostly because of how close you were dancing to blatant racism. So maybe you shouldn't feel so proud, even if that wasn't your intention. All right,
I think you should be a proud boy.
Well. Well, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't be, considering what's happening to those people who made a statement on January 6th. A lot of those people are finding their way into a jail cell.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's the line. I'm not sure that's where you want to go. Mostly because who wants to spend time in jail? Your political beliefs aside, You want to go to jail for him? Maybe you do. Okay, we'll come back with D'Amico Ryans on Kenyon Green. I'll explain why I'm currently doing a show like it's 1985. No laptop. What am I? Who am I? Yeah, notice. It's a strange thing when you take notice it's a strange thing considering how everyone does a show.
Do you want some newspapers out there?
I need a fax. I hold it in my hand.
You want me to print out the doc?
No, I have the doc on my phone. Oh, okay. I can look at it. I'm not completely devoid of technology. I've adapted, but normally there's a laptop here, and no longer. Got to get a new one. In fact, I'm picking it up today. Okay, Kenyon Green, or at least D'Amico Ryans on Kenyon Green when we come back. We found NFL Media's quarterback. I know Lamar Jackson's the people's quarterback, but considering what happened as far as the quarterback change yesterday, I now know who NFL Media's quarterback is. We'll get to that, too. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Art asks if we're praying for for Stephon Diggs' leg to heal. I guess that's based off praying for a speedy recovery. No, I never do that because I assume medical professionals have that handled. I don't imagine my prayers are going to make his knee heal. But that's just how we phrase things.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than that. Are you asking, do I think D'Amico said a prayer for Stephon Diggs' knee? Not his knee specifically. He may have said a prayer for Stephon Diggs. Keep him in the right mindset, loves this guy, but I don't think he bent knee and said, I really hope his anterior cruciate ligament comes back as strong as ever, yeah, or maybe even stronger. I don't think he said, in Jesus' name I pray. I don't think he did that for his ACL.
Yeah. I don't think – Dell and I aren't paying – or I'm not praying for a long recovery. I'm not paying for one either.
No, it didn't even cross my mind to pray for his knee. Hope Stephon Diggs is doing well. It's the price of playing football. It's just what it is. We come to accept it.
Wow.
It is. We come to accept that guys get hurt.
You're willing to throw people's bodies away for your entertainment.
I'm not. I just know that's the unwritten contract we signed.
If he dies, he dies. That's what Dell say.
No, if he gets hurt, I understand.
if he's 900,000th knee to get shredded on the NRG turf in a non-contact way.
It happens. Is all I'm saying.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
Ask Wes Welker. Ask Jadeveon Clowney.
Was that turf or grass for those guys?
That was the pallet grass.
Yeah.
So and there would be seams in the middle.
I remember. It's one of the reasons
they don't have that anymore.
They went to field turf because they could not grow grass. Or they couldn't grow it, and then the pallet stuff was awful, so they had to switch over. And I don't know if Stephon Diggs' knee is the result of the switch, but I was thinking to myself, probably would have happened on the pallet grass too. It's just
probably would have been worse on the
doctor. Might have happened in game two. Who knows? Just how the Texans' field has gone since the inception of that building. Okay, let's also get to you. You want to talk movies. I think you wanted to call in yesterday, but our phones crapped out because we had a bit of a power outage that was quick, but it did affect our phones for longer than we would like. And also, we will give away UH tickets again today. I believe it's still our day today. Maybe not. I'll look it up. But for our winner from yesterday, if you have not reached out, if you're listening right now.
He did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we got that.
All right.
We got that
score. Awesome, awesome. Okay, so got that out of the way. But beyond our problems with our power, let's move back to the Texans. The Texans have an issue at guard, namely Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green will start on Thursday because they have no choice. The guy who was his likely replacement is not playing due to being in the concussion protocol. So here's D'Amico Ryans when asked about Kenyon Green. He defended him and talked about how they've done with him.
There was some good from Kenyon Green's performance. Did he do enough to maintain his starting spot with the offensive line?
Kenyon is done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said,
yesterday. He had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? And like, let's Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll, and we'll, we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
Well, you did replace him in the middle of a game. So you clearly thought he wasn't ready to roll enough. He had played poorly. Now, would he have kept his job after a short week? I guess it would have depended on how Patterson fared if he was able to finish that game. So it's just what the coach will do. Defend your guy. Tell the world that he's fine. Stop asking questions. Pretty much, hey, stop asking questions. You got me up here, and I'm running out of excuses. Because right now, I don't want to lie to your face about Kenyon Green. But if you keep asking me questions, I'm not going. He's going to turn into Saban. What did Saban do to that reporter? You keep asking. I forgot what he said. It's famous.
He's like,
now.
I ain't gonna do it.
I ain't gonna. You keep asking. I ain't gonna do it. He's talking about his quarterback situation. Yeah. I think
Hurts and Tua.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
That far back. So this is D'Amico's way of saying you keep asking, but I'm not gonna do it. You're not gonna get the answer out of me that you want. That he's awful. We want to replace him. We just don't have an opportunity because we don't have the body. He's not gonna do it. Mm. I think he would like to be done answering questions about Kenyon Green. You know how that happens? Kenyon Green plays better. Then you can answer different questions about how Kenyon bounced back.
Easier questions.
Yeah, those are great questions. You want to answer those questions. Kenyon Green bounced back. He put out a great performance. He handled Quinnen Williams. Oof. Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
But that's what he wants to talk about. But how that happens is Kenyon Green has to play better. Okay, we will get to La Salsa here. He wants to talk about movies. What movies in particular?
Hey, what's up, Jelly Jelly?
It's not my name.
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on an Australian, show remake.
Okay.
I think Parks and Rec would be a cool remake for Australia because you can make it brutal, like alligator bites and stuff. But my favorite movie of the year so far has been Long Legs. Have you seen Long Legs, Jelly Jelly? Just wanted to know. Thanks. Bye.
Once again, not my name. But yes, I have seen Long Legs. I haven't seen it a second time. I liked it initially after I saw it, and now that I think back on it, it was fine. It's creepy. The Nicolas Cage character is creepy, but it's fine. And it turns out he's not even the biggest villain in the movie if you watched it.
The biggest villain in society.
Or, I can't. I'll give it away.
So I didn't
see
it.
So I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say who I would consider the biggest villain. You never want a portrayal to happen the way this one did. So check it out. It's not bad. I don't know if it's the best movie I've seen all year. I would have to think. We were talking about a remake of Friday Night Lights, and that's where this call is coming from. And we're talking about The Office, too, and where it would go. And I think Sean was the one who said, let's put The Office...
No, there is going to be an
Australian office.
Office.
Okay, that's what you said.
And I think that's too late to...
It's too far down.
Make your own office.
Well, if it's from the creators of The Office and they're cashing checks from it, which I imagine they will, if it's that, then, hey, you want to franchise your TV series and put it in Japan and Korea just because the checks cash no matter where the show is being broadcast? Understood. I will give the Australian Office a chance just to see what they try to do, because
seen like 15 seasons.
I actually have only watched like a couple episodes of The American Office.
Okay,
so I am not officed out. I've seen I think it was only one season of the British Office, so I could deal with an Australian Office. I'd be fine.
So you're the person who's like. The Office. What an interesting
new
idea.
No, I'm not going to say.
Wait, they talk to the camera?
No, I'm aware of what The Office is about. So, no, and how it was set up. I've seen the clips. So, no, I'm not going to think it's new and inventive. But it won't be something where I'm like, oh, this is clearly this character, because I don't know a lot of the characters only by how people reference them, but not their actual scenes, because I didn't watch that show. So I'm in. Give me the Australian Office, as long as it's not with the paper company.
What about Australian Parks and Rec? so it can be brutal with the alligator fights, like Les also said. Because you know how brutal Parks and Rec was.
What would be the little Sebastian character? Would it be a mini crocodile? A mini
crocodile?
Yeah, probably. A mini croc, but you couldn't keep that croc around for long. Like, how long would the season have to... How many seasons before that croc outgrows being a mini croc and now it's just really dangerous?
It's like Uggo, where you just go through them. You just cycle through.
Yeah, and to be fair, we're not going to be able to tell the difference from one croc to the other. You can just pull another croc that's adolescent croc and we'd be like, yeah, okay, same one.
It's the title of Little Sebastian.
That
it's
makes
not
it great.
Actual.
Yeah, the mini horse we don't care about. That name is great. We need a great name for the croc.
Yeah. And different crocs play the role of being...
Yeah, the mantle.
Yeah.
The mantle of Little Sebastian, the mantle of that croc. We need a great croc name, though. It's got to be Australian, but unique. But we wouldn't know. They'd have to come up with that.
Yeah. I'm not doing your job for you.
What's an unlikely...
Pay me, then I'll do
it. What's an unlikely name you would name a croc, but throw Little in front of it so we can all laugh? Right?
That's for the creators to find out.
Yeah, but Little Sebastian was, Little Sebastian. I don't know if we're going to feel the same way about a miniature croc.
Maybe a koala?
Mm.
They have so many animals
that's
over
not
there
bad.
That are unique to them.
Yeah,
so.
And you probably won't have to worry about the koala trying to kill you on set, so maybe they go with the koala.
Yeah. Wallaby?
Yeah, the wallaby I like. Not a kangaroo. Those guys blow up and try to punch. Beat the crap out of you. Wallaby.
That's the normal horse.
Yeah.
in the scenario, that's the normal horse.
Yeah, that's a regular size horse. A wallaby is the play. Turning off my phone so a telemarketer doesn't call me.
That's Australian NBC ready to throw a bag at
Make
us.
A deal? Or cease and desist because they've already got that. They've already got the wallaby out there. And like, hey, you can't pretend like that's your idea. Yeah. So do we just call the wallaby Little Sebastian or do we come up with a different name?
I don't know.
I don't know any Australian names. That would be funny.
Yeah. Well, I only know a very few Australians. Steve Irwin.
That's a regular name, though.
Josh Giddey.
Once again, a regular name.
Ben Simmons.
Once again, too regular of a name. Australians, if you're out there, what's a cute name that you would name a wallaby?
Crocodile Dundee.
That's a mantle.
Oh, we need a Crocodile Dundee.
Speaking of reboots, yeah.
Why don't we reboot that?
Why haven't we done that? Because probably what they got away with in that movie, they couldn't in 2024 and beyond. So maybe that's why they won't ever do that again. Maybe Paul Hogan, if he's still alive, put his foot down. No more. It's my title. No one else's. All right. When we come back, we will get away from Little Sebastian. Although I love to talk about Little Sebastian. We'll talk about the NFL media's favorite quarterback going forward, considering what happened to him. Anthony Richardson has been benched, and it kind of set off a firestorm of what's wrong with the NFL. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, it's later, right? I don't have a laptop, so I'm just guessing. My book is later in the show, I believe. It's in the 11 o'clock hour.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for me to talk about how you should gamble and gamble properly.
Thursday's coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow's risk-free, the risk-free betting. We're not going to give them two spots in one. They're not paying me for two. What are you doing? All right, yes, my bookie will come up later in the show, but when we come back, we'll talk about Anthony Richardson, him being benched, and what it apparently means for how the NFL develops quarterbacks.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Anthony Richardson is benched. Joe Flacco will play. From anyone who has watched the two play this year, you would say, at least in the business of quarterbacking, throwing the ball from the pocket, Joe Flacco's clearly better. And I think we both said last week that the Colts would have been better off starting Joe Flacco. Now they will. Now I'll ask this of you, Sean. Do you think this is more to do with his play, which has not been good, but do you think he would have survived being bad at quarterback if he didn't set people the wrong way by tapping out? Like, That not the media. Who cares? But you know, people were saying, I don't know how they know this, that the Colts players weren't happy with it. That bothered him. It bothered people on the sideline. Bothered personnel. Do you think if he doesn't tap out for a play, he's the quarterback for the for their game against the Vikings?
It definitely helps his chances. It definitely would have helped his chances. I don't know, because of how poorly he's played, that there, like, some of the completion percentage numbers that he has, it's like worst since 2000 among the 400 quarterbacks or whoever who's played. So there is a little bit of like, he is playing very, very poor, like beyond, like historically bad from at least the completion percentage aspects of it. So it's not crazy. You would think, though, that if the tap was a big deal, or as big of a deal as maybe we're making it, that he would have just gotten pulled from the game, like, permanently.
Yeah, I don't...
And they might have won. Like, yeah, that's the thing. That game was so big for them because, I mean, now we're looking at them at 4-4, right? 4-4?
Yes.
Two games out, but they've completely lost the tiebreaker to the Texans. So, essentially, three games out of the division, where if they would have won that game, they'd be tied for first.
Now they're in that wild card realm where they're fighting off multiple teams as opposed to really being in the division race.
Yeah, so unless you're – I guess if you're going to make the move where you are going to go so present-focused, which if you're starting 40-year-old Joe Flacco, I'm safe to say you're pretty focused on the present and not this long-term project with Anthony Richardson. Shouldn't you have done that in the game where you could have been tied for first if you had won? Like, you should have just made the move.
You should have pulled him in that game and said, we thought Joe gave us the best chance to win because Anthony was playing poorly.
And you would have been, A, right.
Yes.
B, you could have maybe changed the outcome. We don't know for sure, but if we're right and we think Joe Flacco's better, and I think that's a common belief among people who watch the Colts, probably should have gone with them in the Texans game, not after the Texans game.
And this is where that pulling has gone. Because they pulled Anthony Richardson, clearly a raw prospect coming out, no one thought he was NFL ready as far as being able to win from the pocket. They thought this was going to be a longer developmental process for him. People who cover the game, who make their living covering the NFL, watching games, really more watching film, and then writing about it or putting out clips on Twitter, are using this as an example of why the NFL has a problem developing quarterbacks. Now, from anyone who watches the games like us, sure, we analyze, but most of the time we're watching it like anyone else. Oh, that guy stinks from the pocket. That guy's not good. Why is he playing? We kind of react in that way as opposed to looking at the All-22. A lot of people understand, Anthony Richardson can't throw football accurately enough for it to justify keeping Joe Flacco on the bench, particularly if you want to win games. Because as much as the long-term project is what the Colts would need, because Joe Flacco is just a stopgap and they've been doing this for years now, but if you're a fan week to week, all that flowery talk of this is a 2 to 3 year project is cool, except when you have to go through it week after week and you lose a game you think you should win, and you watch your team win, but it ain't because you're a quarterback. You think to yourself, we're okay. What if we had a quarterback who was competent? Could we be good or even have a chance to win the division? And people who analyze the game are like, you can't pull Anthony Richardson. You knew it was going to be a project. This is what you're in for. That's easy for you to say. You ain't part of that organization. You ain't a Colts fan. When you watch the game, you generally are watching it from a perspective, oh, he did something cool. A lot of it's like, look at his arm. Because Anthony Richardson fits all of the prototype stuff for a superior athlete, which you might want at the quarterback position, except, throwing a football accurately. That one thing. But you think you can fix that because he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he can do all the things you would want from an athlete at that position. You start to look at superhumans at the position, and you think of a Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes isn't as athletically gifted running the football, though he scrambles pretty well. But he's one of those types who can make plays out of nothing. Lamar Jackson's another, just a different body type. So everyone's looking for one of those guys, and they think those guys deserve more chances than a pocket passer who's struggling because there's a ceiling to what they think that pocket passer can be because he doesn't have the athletic tools of another guy. So apparently the line has been drawn. Anthony Richmond getting benched. That means the NFL now has a clear problem developing quarterbacks. You start looking at the most recent quarterbacks being drafted, from Justin Fields to Bryce Young to Mac Jones. Throw Trevor Lawrence in there too, despite getting the big deal. Obviously, Anthony Richardson in there as well. It's not been a good run beyond C.J. Stroud in these last couple drafts of guys. Kenny Pickett, throw him in there too, of guys being drafted and living up to their draft status. And most of it, I think, is from people who had priors about Anthony Richardson, mm-hmm. who thought, I love the ability, I love what he can bring, so I like him as a prospect. When anyone who watched him at Florida was like, okay, Colts, go ahead with that one, see how that works out. He didn't play a lot of games at Florida due to injury and youth, and now due to injury and ineffectiveness, he won't be playing a lot of games for the Colts. Now, he'll be back. He might be back this year. Particularly if the Joe Flacco thing doesn't work out, they will bring him back. But if Joe Flacco plays well, they're not going to play Anthony Richardson the rest of the way.
Yeah, unless Flacco gets hurt or maybe the scenario where they actually don't make the playoffs. And so in week 17 and 18, they have nothing to play for. Then they maybe they do, maybe they don't. I would put Anthony Richardson back in if you're already eliminated and not play Joe Flacco. But we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think it now puts it into a very interesting position of like this offseason, do the Colts need a quarterback? Do they bring back Joe Flacco?
That's the argument to play him, because he got hurt last year, so you didn't know much.
Yeah.
This was the year where you would find out more, and it's crazy. Let's find out in 2 years, and less than 2 years, because he didn't play very much last year. And if he doesn't prove it this year, when we know he's raw, okay, time to pack it up and move on.
I think it's 10 starts for Anthony Richardson.
It's not enough, even for a guy with a different skill set. You don't know in 10. It's not going to be enough, unless it's a clear win for you. You're never going to know, for the most part, in 10 starts.
Yeah, unless it's, like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, CJ, and all. We know some guys have started out great, and we know, okay, that's a dude.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz would say, I was a dude, and then I turned out I wasn't a dude. So even that happens,
Carson
too.
Carson Wentz, we knew.
So even that happens, too. He was an MVP candidate, gets hurt, and was never really the same RG3. Quarterback again.
We knew.
Yeah, so as much as I say you kind of know, I'm sure Washington fans thought before he got hurt that they knew. Mm-hmm. And then, clearly, he was not that guy. So, 10 starts is all it took. But the problem is the Colts are in a spot where they think they can do something. They knew last year, with a backup quarterback, they almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this year they think, hey, why not try it again? And a wild card spot's there for them. So I'm not surprised by it. I don't really care that much about people who side with, hey, this was a long-term project. You knew what you're getting into. As I said, that's easy for you to say. You ain't playing for your job. You ain't got a roster full of guys who know that the guy they played with earlier in the year is more likely to put them in spots where they can win games. Like, they look at the games they won with him, with Anthony Richardson. Their last win against the Dolphins, another 10 completions for on 24 attempts.
That's the thing. I think he's under 50% completion.
He's like 44 point whatever. It's awful.
Crazy.
It is awful. So all those receivers that are out there, you think Alec Pierce is like, ooh, can't believe they benched Anthony Richardson. You think Josh Downs, I can't believe they got rid of my guy.
No.
Free
five.
I watched A.D. Mitchell, the rookie, how frustrated he was on Sunday after a couple of overthrows.
Yeah.
Where he beat Stingley on one. A step and a half, maybe. That ball, thrown by an accurate quarterback, may go for a deep ball, a touchdown.
Yeah.
And instead, it sails out of bounds and on third down, and A.D. Mitchell's
yeah, A.D. Mitchell's this frustrated, and his previous quarterbacks were Quinn Ewers and Stetson Bennett. And he's like, this guy sucks. This Richardson guy, wow.
I've seen A.D. Mitchell frustrated. Go back to the semifinal.
Because they weren't throwing it to him.
Yeah, they weren't throwing him the football. So,
and they immediately caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, well.
And would have caught another one.
Squeaky wheel.
And would have caught another one to win the game if
Quinn had thrown it.
If number three put it on him.
Yeah, squeaky wheel. He got one. He could have got another one, except Quinn couldn't do it. Chuck down Charlie. There's numbers about Quinn.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, they're not good.
I was reading some of them to Paul and Joe yesterday.
Not great for Texas's Texas. I don't know if he's even the unquestioned starter anymore. But Sark will say he is
the starter.
But he is the starter.
Unquestioned, I think you just take unquestioned.
I think unquestioned's gone. After
I think
you get
we
benched,
have questions.
You get benched in the game, they bring you back. Unquestioned is off the table.
The fact that Sark has to say it in every press conference means that it is questioned.
Because someone's asking the
Kurt
question.
Because Kurt Bowles is raising his hand asking.
Kurt Bowles better watch it. Sark's going to treat people like D'Amico's about to treat people. You better stop asking me about Quinn. You know, go Saban on. He probably would have learned from Saban how to answer questions about a quarterback controversy that he doesn't want to be a controversy. Watch it, Kurt Bowles. You're pushing Sark.
Yeah, Cedric Golden. Don't get any ideas either. Naming guys from the
Anwar. Watch it. Watch it. I'm certainly not going to take it from Jeff Ketchum.
Catch his hands.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how Ketch looks in the ring. I'm going to say probably not great. I'm just going to assume. He probably would have told us at some point if he was a good boxer. Okay.
He definitely would have tweeted it.
Definitely. So there we are. Anthony Richardson, the NFL media's quarterback. They love this dude.
How did he become the NFL media's quarterback?
Because he's big and strong, and they're always looking for the next Josh Allen.
No,
those numbers came up, by the way, how he favorably compares to Josh Allen's early tenure. So he's going to be the next one, obviously. Give him time. The Bills gave Josh Allen time. Look what they got. Why are you punting on him right now?
So I liked him, especially like the combine stuff. I was like, oh, okay, so this guy's just like a one-of-one athlete at the quarterback position. I understand like why he's going to be picked highly in the first round.
Sure.
But to then watch him play, and like it's just so it confirms everything, all the knocks you thought about him before the draft, where it's like this guy doesn't play. He had what, 12 starts, 13 starts at Florida, and now after 10 starts, like, yeah, no, he's the
same guy.
Raw and terrible.
He's big, strong. You can't tackle him. In fact, Brian Flores talked about it before the announcement was made, that about the tapping out. He goes, hey, because Brian Flores is the DC for the Vikings. They'll play the Vikings this week. Hey, did you see the play? Shrugged off a 315-pound man. He was talking about Foley Fatakasi. Yeah, I'd be tired too. So that's the intrigue, the ability to do that.
And he'll get another shot. Like, he will
probably play this year if the Colts season, like we talked about, Colts season doesn't go the way they want with Flacco, or Flacco gets hurt because quarterbacks get hurt. He's an old man. For football terms, he probably will get hurt.
Yeah.
He'll likely play again.
But if we're talking about, to bring it back to the start of the show, Kenyon Green being a trade target before the deadline, something tells me that another team is also going to be infatuated with Anthony Richardson, and he's going to have a chance to develop. It's probably not going to happen in Indy unless, again, Joe Flacco gets hurt or something and he comes back in and plays way better.
Yeah. If Joe Flacco leads the Colts to the playoffs, they're going to have some real questions in this offseason. Not about bringing back Joe Flacco. But the questions will be
about bringing back the other guy.
Yeah, bring about Anthony Richardson. And is he going to follow in the same lines with Justin Fields, where people are going to be enamored with him, defend him like Dan Orlovsky was doing on Twitter? Mostly he just said, hey, the numbers don't speak to what the film looks like. Okay, sure. But our own human eyes told us what it looked like, and he hasn't been good all year long. But, you know, film watchers, they watch games really kind of out of context. They don't watch games for the moments and what a 3rd and 8 means and if he's going to sail a ball over his head. But on 2nd and 6, he throws the ball on target and the receiver either drops it or gets knocked away. Hey, that's a good play. But what about the 3rd and 8 when it mattered most, where he completely missed his guy, or when he overthrew A.D. Mitchell? They don't really take that stuff into account. They just look at it play by play. But it'll be that, where they'll be enamored with him. Someone will take a shot on him. And then, I don't know, someone will sign Russell Wilson to that job too and take his job again, like he took Justin Fields' job. Because even the Steelers, who love to get by with scrappy, underperforming or average quarterbacks, that's what they love to do, saw Justin Fields like, actually, we'll take the guy everyone's making fun of. The guy who was dressing up as a quarterback when he wasn't even active. We'll put him back in before we want to see Justin Fields again.
But
it worked out.
If it works, it works.
That's what I'm saying. So, sure, people were defending Justin Fields. People will defend Anthony Richardson. But the likelihood is, unless he is on the Josh Allen track — by the way, Josh Allen didn't get benched for anyone — but if he is on that Josh Allen path where he's just the guy who needs more time, I think that's unlikely. The more likelihood is he turns into Justin Fields. He goes someplace else because people are like, hey, Anthony Richardson needs a shot. And then insert, I don't know who would be the veteran at that point who's been washed for a couple of years. Hey, maybe it'll be just a former Seahawks quarterback. Maybe Geno Smith will be on the market. Some team signs him, and Geno Smith's just waiting there for his turn. And goes, okay, I'll take his job because he's not good either.
I feel like Baker Mayfield.
Well, that's not a – well.
Oh, no, Sam Darnold. At least Sam
Darnold.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel it could be a Sam Darnold type who walks in. Yeah, of course. Jameis is always an option. I don't mind it because he's a Colt. I don't care if the Colts never find a good quarterback. But I can see the Justin Fields path for Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
And at least Justin Fields got the play. Never.
He did. He got, what, 3 years, basically?
Did they ever bench him for Tyson Bagent?
I don't know if Fields ever got benched. I feel like he did.
He might have. Or maybe because he got hurt. I don't remember. But it wasn't after 10 starts.
No.
They certainly gave him more time.
They let him cook.
Boiling water is what he was doing. Cook
ramen.
If he was lucky, there was ramen in that boiling water. And now he's backing up Russell Wilson, who has the Steelers winning games enough so that ESPN has stories or the crying about, are they a real contender? Yeah, you beat the Giants the way you did. Obviously, you're a contender. Of course. Sure. All right, we'll come back in hour two. We will we'll hear more from the Texans. CJ Stroud certainly had thoughts on Stephon Diggs being unavailable for the rest of the year. We can talk about baseball, mostly how a Yankee fan is getting treated because he did something that any other fan, if they did it, would be getting ostracized. But ESPN is doing a story on that fan who stole that foul out. Really? Steve Bartman's like, what happened to me? I got killed. No one's doing puff pieces about me. I got ran out of Chicago. This guy, a hero. Of course, the Yankees stave off elimination. Freddie Freeman's like, come on, man. Four straight games. Could have been the MVP of the World Series in a four-game sweep. Now I got to do it again.
I got to do this one more night or else people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, if he doesn't.
Because I will be disappointed if he doesn't.
If he doesn't hit another home run, we're going to look at him like, wash, Freeman. All right. What happened to you?
Got carried to this rink.
15 minutes of fame are over, Freeman.
Yeah, this is Gavin Lux's ring, all right?
Bueller's ring, among others. Unfortunately, it'll probably be Joe Kelly's ring.